This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association, found on the web at www.nysta.org. My name's Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of July 30th, 2012. Well, warm and dry, mostly dry conditions continue this week, putting a premium on water management again if you have high-value golf and sports turf. If you do not have water, the recent rains has helped some, but not enough to get things back to active growth. Summer temps are usually holding back growth anyway. Weeds generally respond more rapidly than the cool season turf, so don't be surprised if you get more complaints about weedy areas the next few weeks. Anthracnose and summer patch problems on the rise as summer stress continues, but if we are able to stay dry, that will hold all other problems at bay. We say goodbye to our Extension colleague Rick Harper this week as he moves to a faculty position at the University of Massachusetts, Westchester County, and New York. We'll miss you, Rick. Well, it was another week above normal, with parts of upstate New York 3 to 6 degrees above. A few isolated spots near the Atlantic coast in New England and Long Island saw slightly below average temperatures. Compared to last year, many areas are within plus or minus 2 days. Portions of southern New Jersey, however, are 3 or more days behind last year, with plains south of Lake Ontario 7 to 10 days ahead of last year. Rainfall amounts were less than a half an inch for much of upstate New York and New England. Areas from southeastern New York down into New Jersey and Pennsylvania saw 1 to 3 inches of rain. Long Island, however, only saw a half to 1 inch. ET was 1 inch northeast of the line from Lake Ontario to New York City and in Virginia. Most everywhere else saw between 3/4 and 1 inch of ET. Moisture deficits are likely over the next 3 days in Maine and south of I-80, and there's a high risk of dollar spot, brown patch, and anthracnose region-wide. There's also a risk of Pythium blight across the Delmarva Peninsula into southern New Jersey. And finally, the forecast is calling for a drier, more normal temp weather is expected to start the week with just a few scattered showers along the Atlantic coast on Sunday. Midweek will be cooler in the 70s, 80s for highs and feature a new storm system with a renewed chance for some rain region-wide. The 8 to 14 day outlook calls for above average temperatures and near normal precipitation. Of course, you can check out all our weather information at the forecast website. The Cornell Cooperative Extension update begins with Walt Nelson's Western New York report. Additional rain last week has offered some relief for dormant lawns. New growth is already noticeable. Both smooth and large crabgrass begin to take off in areas where grass is thin and died back. Large crabgrass rooting and seed heads are already visible. The Adirondack report, Emily Selick and Lynn Wilson. With late blight tomato being recently confirmed in a home garden just north of Plattsburgh, most are concerned with their vegetable gardens. Most home lawns resemble shredded wheat biscuits right now anyway, and folks seem happy to live in toasty dormant grass. Most unirrigated fairways look much the same, while the irrigated sections seem okay. Stressed poa on greens is starting to recover thanks to cooler weather. No disease pressure due to dry, warm weather. Our humidity level is generally low. The Westchester report from Jerry Giordano. Recent steady rains have been welcome, but turf in areas not irrigated has been slow to respond as hot, dry, and windy days have followed and negated the benefits of rain. Now is a good time to take note of the underground bones of lawn areas, as browned out sections often mirror marginal soil conditions characterized by compaction, low organic matter content, and places where rock nears the soil surface. In the lab, summer patch and Drescellera have been noted. Chinch bugs are on the march from walkway and curb areas to interior lawn locations. Some local lawns have been taken over by crabgrass broadleaf weeds to the tune of 50% or more of the cover, and the advice is to trim up nicely and enjoy the species diversity until late August, early September renovation time. Questions concerning fall overseeding and tonal renovation already abound. The Eastern Long Island report from Tom Kowalsik and Tamsin Yeh. Most areas on the east end of Long Island received a quarter to half inch of rain, which helped turf a bit, but this was short-lived. The hot, dry weather during the week was quickly causing lawns to brown where no irrigation was being provided. I also saw several lawns that were damaged by mowing when the turf was under drought stress. And finally, the Capital report from Dave Chinnery. The big story here is that the crane fly, which was found in Albany County on July 3rd, has indeed turned out to be Tipula oleracea, one of the two pest species. Only one insect was found at the time, and we don't have any further reports of sightings or damage. Otherwise, crabgrass is certainly making inroads in drought-stressed and dormant turf. We have approximately 1.5 inches of rain in the past week, and in some places, turf seems to be making a bit of a recovery. I've been out to look at some newly installed but drought-stressed sod and see some lawn failures near new home construction. The regional update begins with Rich Buckley's diagnostic report. Rich is the director of diagnostic services at Rutgers University. A couple of days of heavy rain in the last 2 weeks has worked wonders in most turf areas in New Jersey. Dormant grass is growing again and the mowers are back at it. Generally speaking, as long as temperatures are not exceptionally high, we get a couple of timely rains. Dry is good for turf grass. Less disease, less mowing, less input saves us all time and money. Brown is beautiful. The demands of golf turf, however, indicate need for regular irrigation inputs. Most certainly, dry conditions provide a turf manager with control over the water input, which allows them to manage timing and frequency of the irrigation to maintain turf quality and avoid disease. Of course, despite the control over the moisture input, it does take some degree of skill to water just right. Some folks get caught in the trap of too much or too little water, and that manifests itself in disease. Anthracnose is the most common disease diagnosed over the last 2 weeks. It is well established that the occurrence of anthracnose on annual bluegrass putting greens is often associated with drought stress. It doesn't take much to miss a hot spot during an afternoon with a high evaporation demand, and that almost always precludes an anthracnose outbreak. Anthracnose samples have been steady from golf courses in New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and Virginia. Pythium, on the other side of the coin, too much water and wind up with some pythium disease. Higher night temperatures, some locally heavy rains, overzealous irrigation inputs, and we get supersaturated soils with pythium root rot or sites with outright pythium blight. Samples with some form of pythium disease have come from New Jersey, New York, Delaware, and Pennsylvania this week. Summer patch. Samples of summer patch started to pop up. Turf grass from both landscape and golf course that was diagnosed with summer patch generally peak in July. While this season is moderate compared to last, there's plenty of stress, both man-made and environmental, to push the disease along. An urban forestry update from Rick Harper at the University of Massachusetts. We have more forests now than we did 100 years ago, as we have shifted away from an agrarian to a more urban, suburban lifestyle. However, a recent U.S. Forest Service study indicates that tree cover in urban areas of the United States is declining at about a rate of 4 million trees per year. The benefits derived from urban trees provides a return three times greater than tree care costs, as much as $2,500 in environmental services such as reduced heating and cooling costs during a tree's lifetime. Tree cover in 17 of the 20 cities analyzed in the study declined, while 16 cities saw an increase in impervious cover, which includes pavement and rooftops. Land that lost trees was for the most part, converted to either grass or ground cover, impervious cover, or bare soil. Life with trees. If we have grown accustomed to living among trees, there are certain benefits and perils that come with this lifestyle. First, the trees present hazards during storms, especially if not properly planted and cared for. Second, they are currently under siege from a variety of invasive pests that might accelerate their demise. Finally, the changing climate with intense wet and dry periods, as well as above normal temperatures, is challenging many of our existing tree species, suggesting that if we are going to continue to live among the trees, then we better choose the species wisely, plant them properly, and manage them judiciously. Still, there will be challenges. The rule of thumb that many have learned last year from disaster with Imprellis is that feeder roots of trees extend well beyond the drip line of the canopy and more likely are as far out as the tree is tall. Consequently, the extreme warm and dry and warm and wet conditions over the last several years creates additional challenges for the urban forest. As soil moisture levels are low and soil temperature rises, the tree root system declines and is unable to support the existing canopy. As a result, the tree is then susceptible to a variety of pest problems that first and foremost attack weak trees. Also keep in mind, while we all like mixed landscapes of trees and turf, the turf competes aggressively for water and nutrients with surface tree roots, so it might be best to have good buffer around the base of trees with no turf. Of course, during these intensely dry times, supplying a gator bag filled with water will help with moisture stress. With all the challenges faced by urban trees and loss of trees, planting new species might be the best option we have to sustain the urban forest. Good options include the golden rain tree that is very drought tolerant, honey locust, Kentucky coffee tree, and even crab apples. Planting these types of trees will help overcome the planting of invasive species such as buckthorn, as well as Norway maple, that crowd out other tree species. And finally, my gazing in the grass update. High sky, low humidity. Notes about dry conditions. Well, we're not out of the woods for the golf turf yet with managing turf through the summer. The cooler nights and addition of some rain has helped many get through the last week. With about 5 weeks until Labor Day, those who did some stressing early during the dry period and have continued to manage water well should hold on to most of their annual bluegrass. Those who do not have much root system left at this time. I suspect many long days lie ahead if clear sunny days with light wind and low humidity persist. On one hand, dry is good. However, the high evaporative demand created by sunny dry conditions will challenge a compromised root system. And that is why we often see the most summer patch at this time of year, as this is when the plant cannot keep pace with ET. The common solution is regular cooling of the turf canopy. To be honest, while it does some cooling, what it does do is hold back some of the ET by creating a boundary layer over the surface of the turf that prevents continued rapid water loss. It is important to note the need for this cooling does not end at 3 p.m. quitting time. Often we find that some of the worst moisture stress occurs between 3 and 5 p.m. when the sun is still high in the sky, humidity levels are low, and plants with shallow roots began to fall off the cliff or decline. At this time, we may see summer patch, we might see anthracnose, we might even believe bacterial wilt is killing our plants. Yet in the end, it is severe moisture stress that triggers senescence and ultimately the decline of the turf. All of this is exceedingly worse in areas where there has been turf loss in the last few years from summer stress or winter injury. Annual bluegrass plants that colonize these areas are not fully perennial and often subject to rapid decline for no apparent reason. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi here at Cornell University, and hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.